Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and you're listening to Innovation. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction. Righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Another fine day in the circus called America, where pedophiles run our government, and our vice president sleeps around the world to cut deals to benefit the elite and ensure the children are trafficked off of our border to feed the coffers and the slobbering desires of the most disgusting people on the face of the earth. It's a pretty good arrangement right now as we witness the despicable surface up to the top, like really bad. Keeping in mind that if special operations would just drop the hammer, this crap would stop in 30 days, and it would be epic. So just saying that, so we all know that I, for one, I'm all like green lighted, baby. Let the chips fall, because when they do, you have no idea. In a good way. I don't mean that like bragging. I'm just saying you have no idea. This, the ruthlessness that we can bring on target. It would just like, you would sit there, even thinking you understood how good it was going to be, you'd sit there jaw dropped. You couldn't have enough popcorn in your house. You'd be like, honey, I pop more. This is incredible. Pretty soon you'd be like through 15 bags. And the first hour was up, and you'd be like, oh, man, I'm full of popcorn. I still want to eat more. That would be hour one. That's how good they are. They show this nonsense on Hollywood. It's always nonsense. They always kind of portray the guys as being like some, you know, like they always have social. They always love to focus on the emotional problems and the challenges of dealing with their. Oh, it's just so much BS. These guys are machine, ruthless, great patriots. There's not a safe, not a door, not a compound in the world that they can't get into, take you out, put you in a bag, fly you to Gitmo, and give you a nice water bath. And yes, they are that good. Things movies are made of, things legends are created by, and the most glorious thing about our special operations boys is they walk humbly and they seek nothing. They just are getting sick, like I am, of all this nonsense that we're witnessing. And I'll tell you what, All I can say is God help the ones that decide to hurt the children if they let, when they meet the Maker introduced to them by our boys in the shadows, because there is not a guy out there that serves this nation that doesn't have a compassion for children. None. They love children. They love America. So one thing you just need to know, I don't care what the government's doing. I don't care what the Pentagon's doing. The Pentagon's half the time's got its head up its butt because there's corruption deep in those ranks. But I'm going to tell you right now, it is a different cut, a different breed, a different caliber of person that serves on those teams. The highest regard for them, the highest regard for them. They ask nothing. And they live a life that gives more than anybody can ever imagine they give. And they ask for nothing in return. One of my buddies who was in Somalia, literally went into the VA. He's had some head concussion stuff, was having some real problems. They told him he had to wait 6 months. 6 months. This was under Obama. I think it's gotten better now. It's just dirtbaggery, I'm telling you. Yeah, so let's do a quick prayer, and then we'll talk about a couple other things that are going on, and then we'll dig into tonight's topic. So join me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in which we share each day. And Lord, we ask the prayers this night for our amazing men and women in uniform, and our amazing men and women who serve in the most elite operations teams, knowing how much sacrifice they make, both in terms of family and lives, and they ask nothing in return. Lord, we pray for them, ask that you can protect them, guide them, and bring them home to their families. Most of all, Lord, we pray for our children, the youth of this nation that are being literally abused on a daily basis, whether it's by stupid parents, excuse me, Lord, corrupted teachers, a filthy, nasty political system, and a despicable media and entertainment network. We ask, Lord, that you give us a blessing to help raise them out of this when this cloud rises, to repair their hearts and their souls. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. And yeah, I did mean what I just said, stupid parents. And I know that's not nice, but I'm so sick and tired of parents just shoving their kids into a mask and keeping them there and then acting like it's normal. I'm just about had it. I mean, you're abusing a child. There's nothing worse. But that's not what we're going to focus on tonight. But I do want to, I saw someone ask on the comments, and I've been tracking it a little bit. We talked about it today, what's going on in the Suez Canal. So my answer to people, because I saw a couple comments, what's happening in the Suez Canal? Go listen to the Spiff Report. We did a whole breakdown on the Suez Canal today based on some incredible Q digs that the Spiff team did. So go listen to that. It's more than I'm going to get into now. I think it was like 10 minutes of report on that. So jump back over there, listen to that. That was in the today. It was a long Spiff report today, but a good one. And there was some incredible research done by our rockin' Spiff team. I absolutely love our team. And Spiff Commander, Galactic Commander, Spiff Commander is one of a kind. Innovation. I think we have to begin with a certain principle that God gave us all gifts and talents. And part of those gifts and talents take us in places that we don't know. But we live in a world right now that wants you to believe that unless you have a degree, especially a master's or a PhD, you aren't worth doggy doo-doo. And that's the biggest lie going. Oh, look, our Spiff Commander's here. Spiff, Space Force Spiff Commander's here. Everybody say hello. It's awesome. So we are in a place right now where we are in a world where the intellectual property and the, which includes, I don't know if you understand what intellectual property is. I assume everybody does, but I'm just going to hit it. That's things like your ideas, it's inventions, it includes patents, copyrights, trademarks, But IP is even bigger than that, because IP is even your idea. So here's an example of IP. I don't know if you know this or not, but WD-40, which everybody should know what WD-40 is. It's like the only thing that ever fixes a hinge when oil won't, right? It's the only thing that'll break a rust-locked tool. You're sitting there with a tool. You can't move it. You spray WD-40 on, go have some dinner, come back. You're like, whoa, what happened? It's like things working normally again. So WD-40 is like this major magic stuff. And you can use it. You got a list. Go literally go Google WD-40. I'll do it right now. See if I can find it while we're talking. Uses of WD-40. This fits right into innovation anyway. I forgot to do this. Uses of WD-40. I'll pull something up. You won't believe this stuff. Look at this. Here's some examples of WD-40. This is a spray that was made for NASA, by the way. Removes paint rub from another car. You can clean carpet stains with it. You can keep wooden tool handles from splintering. You can prevent snow buildup on windows. It keeps wasps from building nests. You can tone down the polyurethane shine. You can keep spiders away with it. You can waterproof shoes and boots. You can naturally fix leaky hinges or squeaky hinges. You can keep squirrels away from bird feeders. You can get dog poop off your shoe. So basically, if you're walking around listening to the news, just spray it on your shoes and you won't feel like you're dog poop. Remove chewing gum. I mean, the list is incredible. This is all WD-40. And this is innovation, okay? But what's amazing about WD-40 is the guy that invented WD-40 did not patent WD-40. What he did is he protected his intellectual property. So he registered his intellectual property. And the way you do that is not formal. You don't go through a court. I love this because it's very, if you understand IP, this is very common law based. And I can't tell you that that's where it came from, but it's the principle behind it. You don't go through the federal government to protect your IP. Okay, when you protect IP, let's say you come up with, I did this, you come up with an algorithm of how to process data to do something special, okay? If you patent that idea, it becomes public knowledge, and then somebody can take it, they can tweak it a little bit and steal it, or they can wait till your patent expires, and then you have no more protection. And it costs you thousands of dollars to do a patent. But if you write this out in detail of what it is and say it's a process or it's a formula or it's whatever it is, and you consider it intellectual property, then it's how you handle it. So, for example, Coca-Cola's recipes IP, WD-40's recipes IP, no one knows exactly what it is because it's never been shared outside of a very tight circle. It's literally kept in a safe. These are kind of the procedures you have to go through. You have to physically keep it in a safe. You have to go through a process that if somebody gets it, they have to sign it out, and you have a complete tracking of who has access. If you ever share it with somebody digitally, you have to do things like using locked files, which is PDF locked files. You have to send it through encrypted networks, a few things like that. But it gives you full protection, but nobody knows the secret. So that's IP. So the idea I'm getting at here is that we live in a world right now when they want to tell you and make you believe that if you don't have a master's, a PhD, or you're somehow stellarly gifted, that you don't have an idea that's worth anything, and so you need to be dumb, and you need to go work for somebody, and then you need to continue to be dumber to work for them, because in order to work for them, they expect you to be dumb, and then they expect you to get dumber to work for them, because otherwise they don't want you around, because if you get too smart, then they want to kick you out. That's the way our world works right now. It's completely inverted stupidness. All right. But that's not the way we were. As a country, we started this country on the basis of innovation. People didn't come here with masters and PhDs. People came here with dreams to make things happen. Listen to some of these cool inventions. And it's pretty neat. I don't think you know. I mean, I was reading through these today. I thought it was pretty neat. So this is in early America, the colonial period, which is up to about 1775. I don't know if you knew this or not, but that's when swim fins were invented. They were invented by Ben Franklin in 1777. Mail order catalogs first were invented in the United States in the colonial period in 1744. Everybody should have known this one from school. Lightning rods, 1749, which was another Ben Franklin invention. Then we take, like, the swivel chair was invented in 1776. And that was, let me see who did this one here. It looks like it was done by Francis Tumble. Or they say it could have been a Benjamin Randolph cabinet maker, a Philadelphia cabinet maker. But anyway, you got the point. Bifocals. And guess who did that one again? Ben Franklin. This guy was like a trove of inventions. Crazy. The automatic flour mill, the cracker. Yes, the cracker that you eat, actually, was invented here. The cotton gin. That's Eli Whitney, who did that in 1793. The cupcake was invented in the United States. See, I'm making a point here because these are like really just basic everyday things we don't think about, but they were actually invented by early Americans. The fire hydrant, the lobster trap. Let's see if I can find a few others here. Pretty neat. Graham crackers. Oh man, I love graham crackers and snickerdoodles. Not snickerdoodles. S'mores. That's another invention, but you have to have the graham cracker to make s'mores work. So graham crackers were invented in 1829. God bless them, because then we have to have the marshmallow and the chocolate, and you put it on the, whoa, all that because of a graham cracker. Can you imagine that? That's pretty good. The sewing machine was invented. The doorbell was invented here. The steam shovel, the solar compass. Man, the circuit breaker was invented here. Corn sheller was invented here. The first sleeping car for the railroad was invented here. House trusses were invented here. Here's my favorite. The White Mountain freezer, which is the hand ice cream maker, was invented here, which, by the way, is the same type of freezer I have, only it's not made by White Mountain anymore. My Sunday ice cream event. The hand crank ice cream machine, which is made by, I'm going to pitch them so hard, you guys got to go check it out. CountryFreezerStore.com. CountryFreezerStore.com. Bunch of Amish guys. Crafted by the Amish in the USA. Not cheap, but it's not an investment you make more than once. You buy it once, you're forever happy. And just in case you get so inclined because you don't feel that you're getting enough ice cream in your life, because, you know, some people start to feel like they're just getting deprived or something. I don't know. You can order through them. You can order a 20 quarter. I have a 6. You know, I don't know. Maybe some people think that that's just not enough. They have to have, like, really, like, get serious about it. But they've got bigger ones than that, too. Oh, my goodness. 20 quart on a cart with a 20 quarts their max. You can get a 20 quarter with a engine to do it. You can't hand crank that, by the way. 20 quarts of ice cream, there's no way you're going to have the muscles to do that. Anyway, these are all great inventions of America that have literally changed the entire world, okay? Baseball was invented here. The gas mask. The donut. Huh. The jackhammer. Just a few. All right, you got the point. Here's my point. All of those inventions, do you think it took somebody coming from university with a PhD and a master's? The answer is no. It did not. And why is that important? Because, Patriots, we're in a point right now when our world is being contained and controlled by in a very narrow vein. Everyone's being, you know, it's like we're all being squeezed into the digital space. And part of the reason they're doing that, and this is the truth, as they scoured everything you talk about and everything you do, one of the things they're also looking for is ideas. So when you get an idea, they try to patent it or put a copyright on it so you can't have it. This is all they do. Most of what tech builds on is everybody else's ideas. And then making money off of them. It's one of the reasons on these trade deals that Obama set up, they wanted to give this massive control over intellectual property. And if you weren't paying attention to it, what they were trying to do is get to a place that basically the tech giants would control all IP. because they had the lawyers and they had the people to move on it before anybody else could do it. So as they're snooping on you and listening to your calls and your conversations, reading your emails, and of course it's their AIs, they're looking for ideas so that they can snag those ideas, send them to a team. Team looks at them, does a quick write-up, doesn't take them that long, boom, sends them to the lawyer, boom, they get them. And your idea, and this does actually happen, somebody goes, talks about a patent or talks about an invention, they go to make it, and all of a sudden they get a violation notice, and they're like, "This, we already have this patented." It's like, how did you know? Because they stole it from you. That's how they know. All right, so where I'm going with all this is, in order for us to reset into this new republic, and we are in the process of that. I saw some stupid comment about me the other day. Oh, by the way, just so I say it, I'm not going to call out the troll that actually put this up like it was a big deal. If you want to know my full background, I'm just going to say it. It's not hidden. This is why I laughed. Someone was like, "What do you think about Scott Kesterson? Did you see this on LinkedIn?" I swear people are so stupid. Seriously. I'm like, do you really think if I wanted to hide, I would have put my entire bio, every place I worked, on LinkedIn? I mean, I swear these people have had vaccines already. There's only way I can account for it, because it's that dumb. And then it's like, he worked for the CIA. He's a clown. And guess what else? He was arrested and put in jail. It's like, yeah. Why don't you listen to episode 64? Why don't you come over and listen to the podcast and quit acting like an idiot? That'd be a good one. Oh, man. What a bunch of trolls. And it's these are patriots, too. And I tell you what's happening. Nobody's listening to them, or they're getting bored because there's no cue, so they don't know what to do. So they're like, oh, well, how about if we go start digging on other patriots and start making some problems because we want to get traffic and we don't have any? Whatever. What a bunch of stupid BS. Anyway, if you want to see my full background, and I'm serious, you're welcome to look at it. It's not like it's hidden. It's out on LinkedIn. Go over there, cruise over, type in Scott Kesterson. You'll find it. I don't care. You can see I've got everything, all my articles I've published and how everybody I've worked for. You might find it interesting. So anyway, that's totally off topic, but we're back now. So whatever. So here's the deal. I've worked in these spaces in some high-level teams where we have literally scoured the world for technologies. Okay, it's important to understand what I'm getting at here. Part of one of the groups I was with, which was called Dog Squadron, it was a concepts and innovation squadron at Fort Meade under a group of asymmetric warfare group. Before that, I worked, the CIA team I worked with was called Orbis Operations. And no, not the same Orbis that's in London. That's another one. I'm saying that because that was part of the, he worked for Orbis. Yeah, I know. No shit, I did. Worked for Orbis. It was originally owned by Hank Crumpton. Look him up if you want to see who Hank Crumpton is. So anyway, dumb people. Like I'm hiding. Like he's snuck into the Patriot movement and he's a clown. And he's leading us down a horrible road. And I'm sitting here laughing. I'm like, okay, so apparently talking about sovereignty county by county, getting people their independence back, encourage people to get God in their life, take control of their local counties, grow a garden, stop working for the corporations, get energy self-sufficient on your homes, homeschool your kids, and start taking care of your own health. I'll tell you what, if the CIA was talking about that stuff, I'd be asking them to join the party. I just can't believe people sometimes. Man, I'll tell you, nothing else to do. What are we doing tonight? I'm bored. Let's go dig up something on a Patriot and make nothing out of something. Something out of nothing, whatever you say. All right, so anyway, I worked with a team, and we literally, part of what we did is we traveled all over the world. And I did. I traveled a lot of places, and we were looking for specific things. We were part of collecting information was to start learning how other cultures were using technologies. Ran into some amazing stuff in Bosnia, for example, of how they had created underground, basically they tunneled into mountains to build their power plants. And they were all hydropower plants that they had built in the ground, in the tunnels in tunnels inside the mountains. And this was under Tito, and one of the reasons they did that was to protect it from a nuclear attack. So it was an incredible discovery because they had used this, what we consider old technology, which is like 1960s level technology. They had used that as a basis to literally, to literally create an infrastructure that was resistant to EMP and a direct nuclear attack. Incredible stuff. So, and they had an entire engineering school built on burrowing into mountains and building hydroelectric plants inside mountains and even redirecting rivers, not exaggerating, to come inside the mountain to drive the turbines on the power generation. So here's, these are incredible innovations that we don't even see here because we're not in that need or that context. In this world that we're in, if you, everybody gets so focused on the internet, it's like everybody's supposed to invent something new in the digital space. And we forget in all this junk that we're flooded with from China and other places, innovation is within us, every single one of us. You don't need a degree. You just need to be wise in whatever your gift and talent is. You know, I, as an example, and no, I haven't done this yet, but I'm just saying, you know, I've talked about this. I love good mics. I also admire the incredible engineering that goes into mics. There's a company that I came across the other day. It's an American company. And they literally blew me away because what they had done is something I frankly had never considered before. And their company's name is Josephson. And they are a company down in California. And what they had done is typically a mic has a digital receive to convert signals digitally, or it uses more analog technology and it uses a tube. Well, they put the two together. Never heard of such a thing. And it creates an amazing range on their mics. It's pretty incredible. Super expensive, but that's okay. That's innovation. Okay. They're looking at a problem and they're trying to look at new ways of dealing with things we deal with every day. Every one of us has the potential to innovate something. And in this direction we're going, in this new republic, people need to start really digging into their gifts and talents and innovating. Sometimes the innovation is nothing more than you're going to use for yourself. Other times the innovation is going to be very profound. And it's just a matter of how that all comes together. When we go to gardening, for example, and I did the story on him last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess. John Jevons, Bountiful Gardens and Ecology in Action, which is in Northern California, he came up with a digging tool of how to dig a double dug bed with one tool rather than having to, rather than having to use a digging fork. And it was a custom designed tool. He put the design out there. People have made it, used it. It's an incredible tool. And now there's a small industry that's come from that as a result of that. Sometimes innovation isn't about profiting from the exact idea. Sometimes innovation is about getting ideas into the space so people can benefit and start doing it themselves to improve their performance. There's so many cool ways of doing things, and the only thing you have to start doing and we have to start doing is start believing. The world that we're living in right now is so negative, and it wants you to believe, again, like, okay, well, can I see your credentials, please, before you talk about that idea? It's like, no, I'm not going to show you my credentials. Here's my idea. That's how we have to be. And the problem we're at right now is everybody wants to see that curriculum vitae, the CV, or your resume to say, okay, well, you're okay to talk about that. Crazy stuff. But ideas and innovations are happening all over the place. One of the amazing fields that's happening right now is alternative holistic medicine. And it's not happening. It's really on the move right now. And it's partly because of this insanity that we're dealing here with a broken medical system, injections that are making people horribly sick or killing them, and a way of being tied to big pharma that's completely outside of what holistic health is about. And this isn't just being led by, say, you know, kind of your alternative healthcare providers, which are very unconventional. There, a lot of them are like huge Bernie Sanders supporters, which is okay, whatever. But this is led by a lot of medical professionals right now. In fact, you know, I did the interview with Dr. Tenpenny, and I'll bet you didn't know that she has a clinic that deals with holistic care. So you're talking about major medical professionals that are now innovating ideas on how to work outside of the conventions to rethink old ideas or rethink new problems or old problems to come up with innovative solutions for a better result for humanity. That's the key of this whole thing. We have to rethink the way we do things for the betterment of humanity. And we have to innovate into the space. Media, like what I'm doing here, what many people are doing, we're innovating new ways of approaching things. The Spiff report just came out of nowhere. It was just an idea that we had, and we started playing with it, and the first ones are pretty wild. And we've kind of settled into a pattern. We've got we've innovated a way of doing news. There's an incredible team that's evolved about how they're researching. They have developed an entire process of how to get their news, how to vet the news, how the stories are drafted. It's an amazing process that was completely innovated out of a gap because we weren't getting daily news. Right? I mean, another thing we're doing here. I mean, it's like daily prayer, twice a day, not once. And I've been told many times, like, you know, people aren't going to come to that because you're asking them to come to our prayer session every day, and we can't even get enough people in churches. And I'm like, wrong. Sorry, that's the wrong approach. Because no, they're probably not going to drive down and sit in a pew. But when we're dealing with podcasting, or dealing with content on demand, there's an entire different model that we're dealing with. We have to innovate to the new technologies to make it better. Everybody has a potential to innovate. And it is more important than ever that as we get in to our gifts and talents, and literally we need to get into our gifts and talents. There's the one piece of like, listen to God, this is what God expects. Here's the other side of that. Our nation needs it. And I'm not kidding what I'm saying. We have to move into a place, and we are moving there faster than most people realize, where we are entering into kind of a divide in the nation. There is the old, which is withering, but it's not withering without trying to seek as much harm on the population as possible. And there's the new that's rising, and it's all people-based. It's all we the people, power back to the people. But we can't rise up there and keep relying on the IP, the patents, the copyrights, the technologies that were created by the cabal, because we already know where that's taken us. Right now, we're still lynched into this. And this is going to be that way for a while. But with all of the things that come out of the cabal are all of the many, many innovations that we're kind of stuck with. And we have to get past that. There was a time in my life I wanted to design and build bikes. I love bikes. Used to mountain bike race. But not anymore. But anyway, had a really bad wreck too. Not good, by the way, when you're coming down a mountain at 33 miles an hour and you wreck. And you go tumbling off the mountain. Your bike looks like a pretzel when it's all over. But anyway, a little bit of a road rash too. Just a tiny little bit. But here's the point. That's another area where there's a guy in Chicago that has completely innovated in the bike space. He's created cruisers and he does a few other things, but he makes all his own frames. He does custom bikes for clients. I just think it's awesome when people do this. They just step out and they're just like, okay, we're going to do this way. There's a group in Philadelphia. I used to go there to get my haircut. And they're all old school barbers that have come together. And they're all old school beard barbers, which we don't even know what that is now. But I mean, they've gone and they've relearned the old craft, and they've innovated a whole new way in the modern age of reviving an old craft to bring it new. It's wonderful to see. See, there's just unlimited potential. And the point of this is, as we innovate and as we free ourselves, we're not going to be innovating when we're stuck on our phones. We're not going to be innovating when we're stuck in front of a TV. That's part of the reason they want you there too, because it really does dumb you down. And it limits you. It prevents you from doing the great things that we're capable of. Just think back think back to all of the incredible innovations like I was reading, and there's so many more. And you have to ask yourself, well, how did these people do that? How did they do that? Well, part of it is they didn't watch TV. And part of it was a need. They had to innovate to get something they wanted because they couldn't run all over to Walmart and buy it cheap, made in China, and then it never works the right way. And then you get frustrated and you take it back and you go buy another one. It still doesn't work the same way, so you buy another one. I mean, this is a vicious, stupid cycle, right? They would just make stuff. And I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and we were talking about some concepts about using drones for communication. And I just loved the response. And I said, okay, so have you done that assessment? And he said, no. But he said, maybe we don't need to do the assessment. Maybe we just need to build our own. We have that technology, and it's perfectly capable. Which reminded me of a project I was on in Afghanistan with another guy where we actually were designing drones at that time to track and follow a soldier or somebody using some different cool technologies that were off the shelf. They wouldn't have to innovate anything. So that's part of it. So innovation is the core of the American spirit, is my point. And we have to get that energy back into our lives because this nation's going to rely on it. When you hear President Trump talk about the V recovery, which is going to happen, it's going to be really interesting to watch it happen too. And I'm going to laugh a lot at those that all think that, you know, like, oh, we're stuck with Biden. Like, whatever. Could care less. But this V recovery that is going to be pretty amazing to watch, start getting yourself in a mindset of innovation. Innovate a new way of life for yourself. Innovate a way of doing business for yourself. If you've always wanted to be a carpenter, if you've wanted to be a seamstress, look at the markets too. I mean, it's amazing. Nobody's making clothes in the U.S. these days. I don't know if you know this. It's like the biggest gap out there, and I can't believe nobody's jumping on it and going, I'm going to innovate a cool way. Here's an example of that. 3D printing is exceptional, and it's at its stage right now, and it's very affordable. And I have run into some people that have done some of this, like they're making 3D printed buttons. So imagine if you are 3D printing, including metal now, which is amazing because you can use powdered metals to 3D print and make stuff that is, and it's still affordable. That's the technology costs have dropped tremendously. Imagine making all your buttons through that you design in 3D printing, because you're going to design them in a CAD type system. Imagine making all of your patterns for clothing. Maybe it's not clothing, maybe it's camping gear, whatever, but we'll say clothing for now because that's what I was talking about. Clothing. And you're going to print out all your templates. You can literally, with a small investment, even have a robot arm do all your cutting for you. Once you figured out all that, it's all stuff you can put together. What we've become too reliant on is out-of-the-box solutions, meaning plug and play. So, okay, I'm going to learn to be a seamstress. So I need to go to a class, and then I'm going to buy a machine. And that machine's going to have certain features, and that's the only thing I can do with it, and then I'll do that, or whatever, right? I'm going to do something, and I have to buy a specific tool or a specific device that's going to allow me to do that thing, and I'm not going to be able to do anything more than what it says. We get stuck at class 101. 101 is where you get introduced. Like you get the mixing board and it has all the buttons and everything's all ready for you. So everything you touch is fine. You don't have to do anything else but plug it in and it'll play. The advanced class is like, okay, here's 15 different components and here's a digital interface. And now mix and match those components and that interface to make it do what you want it to do. It takes a little time. But that's part of innovating. And you innovate workflows. I did some work with Sony when I was in Afghanistan, and part of what I was doing was taking one of their cameras and innovating workflows on how, when we film, and how to transfer material, put it into portable hard drives, save it for later so it was preserved, because these discs they were using were massively expensive, like $1,000 a memory stick. And so you'd save it on drives once you filled them up, and then you could create just the whole workflow of how to create backups and produced copy, all in the field, not relying on a studio. Innovation. It has to be the core of what we're going to do if we're going to save this country, among other things, but it's a top one. Because if we don't start innovating, we're not going to remain competitive, And innovation comes from each one of us in our lives, and most importantly, knowing that we can do it. That's the big one. You have to get rid of the negative. Anything is possible, and you're going to make some mistakes along the way. You're going to make stuff that'll break. You're going to make stuff that's not going to work quite right. But think about all the things that are around us and how much innovation there went into it. Think about the microbrew industry. I was doing a lot of work around that early on when it was first starting. The guys that innovated these processes now. I mean, you can buy your whole stainless steel tank system for your garage and make, 200 gallons of beer. But none of that existed when that all started in the 80s. They were creating those methods. Everything, buddy, started in like a 5-gallon bucket. One guy in England was starting his microbrew stuff, what he was able to get with 1-gallon glass jars or jugs. And each step is something new. There's a guy in Philadelphia that makes whiskey, and he ages his whiskey equivalent of about 10 years. He does it in 2. How does he do it? Well, he did the math. He calculated it. He does it all in small 1-gallon wood casks. You go into his area, and they've got all these 1-gallon casks around. And in about a year, it's a year to 2 years, I can't remember the time exactly, because there's more surface area, he's able to age his whiskey in a shorter period of time and get still a very, very mature product. It's amazing. It's a great innovation. And with that, he did something else. He uses a beer mash, which he invented, an idea of using how you brew beer, and he turns that into a whiskey, which is different than how you do a whiskey mash. So anyway, my point of this is not to say that here's your cookie cutter solution. It's to point out that there's so much that a person can do if we step away from being told, one, you can't, number two, accept that God's given you incredible gifts and talents to use and to mature and to run wild with. And in the process, challenge yourself to go far beyond what you think you can do and innovate something. So that is the challenge I put out here. Challenge yourself to start thinking like an innovator. Break the convention. Don't be stuck into the groove. Look at things differently. Let your mind go. Imagine big, dream big, because in the end of the day, God wants to hear your dreams, and that's the bottom line of all this. And if we aren't dreaming big, God's going to give you what you need. But if you're dreaming big, if you're visualizing big, if you're innovating, if you're trusting in God, guess what? There's no limit. And since we're going into this new space, which we are, the rebuilding of the republic, I'd say this is the greatest time ever to innovate, because we're entering into a place where we need to innovate into a new way to build a new world and to leave that sniffer stuff behind us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together each day to reflect deeply on the path that we're on, to dig deeper into what you've offered us and what you do for us, humbled by all that you give, but acknowledging that we haven't even approached our potential. Lord, we ask for the eyes to see, but most importantly, the inspiration within to lighten that heart up, to show us that way, Lord. As we listen to you, give us those glimpses of where we can go, and then the courage. Let us find the courage to step beyond the limitations that we're told that exist and truly understand that we have no limits of what we can do. We're blessed with what's been given. We're given examples after examples of the potential of the greatness of what we can be. So let us hear that, Lord. Let us fill that with our heart. And let us walk boldly into the world and innovate a new future. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It's a great time. There's no reason to be down, no reason to be frustrated. All we're dealing with is a bunch of lunatics and psychopaths that are running our government, so that's okay. Who cares? Lunatics and psychopaths. I don't know how we got here, actually. It is a crazy, crazy time. And we still have yet to see Joe Biden walk out on the White House lawn in his boxer shorts. I just have a feeling it's coming. So don't be surprised. When that happens, like, you better like shut it off quick, or your children are going to be traumatized for life. Heck, I might be traumatized for life if I saw that. I'd be like, I hate psychiatrists, and I'd probably be looking in the phone book for one after I saw something like that. Horrible. Horrible thoughts. Nightmares. They're coming. Nightmares. All right, Patriots. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Be positive. Think positive. Think unlimited. Dream big. We need to dream big. Dream big for yourself. Dream big for the nation. Dream big. Let your mind go. Let your mind innovate. It all begins with the way we approach the world. Pray. Let God hear your dreams. Let God hear your visions. It's not always about negative. It's not always about repenting. I think you can do that if you want. But like, hey, repented, good. Now let's get up and do something. So let's dream big. Let's share that with God. Let God know what we need in this world, what you want to do, how big you want to go with this, and trust in God and let him guide you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And most of all, he's gonna win. That's pretty good. Like I say all the time now, I just want to be there on the finish line and watch it, because I'd be like, wow, I'll bet that hurt. Oh, lake of fire coming right on down your way. Man, I'll tell you, I've told you, man, I'd be like, God, yes, I'd like a tour of duty where I want to be the guy pressing the elevator button down for these turds to be going down to the just a week. But I'll take it just so I can press the button and go, hey, hope you have a nice ride. Where am I going? You're going to the lake of fire. One way ticket, free of charge. God's sending you there, and I'm helping you get on in. Press button down. Whoop. And there you go. Have a blessed evening. I'll be back at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. So until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
an old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.